Good evening. My name is Tom Mann. I'm the new president at Davis and Elkins College. And I'm, thank you. I've been here for 2 weeks, longer than some of you. On behalf of all of us who work and study at the college, I'm very pleased to welcome our Augusta friends to this event. The Augusta Heritage Festival is one of the high points of the year for us at D&E, and I hope it's also one of the highlights of the year for you. As I walk around campus, I see that most of you have made yourselves at home. You're enjoying our facilities and our campus. We invite you to do that, but most of all, I invite you to enjoy tonight's concert. Thank you for coming to D&E.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Swing, Swing, Swing. This is Augusta's Thursday night concert featuring the staff of the Swing Week program here. Our first act tonight is going to feature three of our fine musicians, Mr. Ted Connor, who's a master guitar instructor here with us this week, and he's an incredibly accomplished musician and a wonderful man. He has a CD for sale out in the lobby. It's called Ted Connor Solo, and when you hear it, you'll be like me and find it unbelievable that he does play solo. He plays like 1,000 guitar players all in one. And he's going to be joined by Dan Newton, who is an accordionist extraordinaire. And one of my first Augusta memories is a really warm and wonderful memory of Dan spending hours and hours sitting out on the porch playing the accordion on any style of music anybody wanted to play. Dan also has a couple of CDs for sale, Accordion Cafe and Dancing the Moon. And they've invited Ralph Gordon to play bass with them, and Ralph is a bass player that's probably familiar to everyone who's ever come to Augusta for anything. He's played in all kinds of bands, from the folk band Trapezoid on through jazz and swing. So let's make these fellows welcome Ted Connor, Dan Newton, and Ralph Gordon.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back here at Augusta. This first song doesn't have a title, and I think I wrote it, but Ted and Ralph said they didn't recognize it. If they don't recognize it, it probably hasn't been heard. So, but if anybody recognizes it, see me after the show and tell me what the song is. Ready? One, two, three, four. Thank you. This next one I know the title of, and I don't know who wrote it, but I know it wasn't me. It's called When My Ship Comes In, and it's a Depression-era song. It mentions Walt Disney, Bing Crosby, and Paul Whiteman. And some of you remember some of them, and that doesn't really matter. It just was written at a time when all three of them were very well known. So it's called When My Ship Comes In. Have a little intro? When my ship comes in, I'll have suits made to measure. I'll even buy the store. And can you imagine the pleasure of wearing shoes that no one ever wore before? Golden chairs, we'll sip our tea for two. I'll have Paul Whiteman there to play for you. I'll have Bing Crosby singing boo-boo-boo-boo when my ship comes in. Here comes your ship, Mr. Connor. It's such a pleasure for me to have both Ralph and Ted to help me out on this, and I think it's even more of a pleasure right now for Ralph and I to not have to do anything but listen to Ted play a song right now called Unforgettable. Thank you.
The amazing master, Ted Connor. Dan Newton playing the accordion and Ralph Gordon on bass. Don't forget about Ted's CD, Ted Connor Solo, and Dan's album's out there on the in the lobby also, Cafe Accordion and Dancing the Moon. For the next portion of our show, I'm real excited to introduce a fellow who, as it turns out, has a mother right here in Elkins, West Virginia. And he happens to be here this week, and I tell you what, we are all extremely fortunate that that's the case. I'm talking about Baxter Black, who is, you know, one of the finest cowboy poets in the world, actually, and very funny, obviously. He's a former large animal veterinarian, and he's a PBS affiliate on Morning Edition with occasional appearances, and also a welcome guest at odd intervals, as he says, on Prairie Home Companion. He happens to be the best-selling cowboy poet in the world, and there's no mystery, as far as I'm concerned, as to why that is. He's really sort of the leader of the pack. There are cowboy poetry gatherings all over the country now, and he was really the very first, and, you know, still remains extremely active with it, and as far as I'm concerned, the very funniest. We're about ready for Baxter to come on out. Please make welcome Baxter Black.
Did I do this wrong already? Come on. No, I didn't. I can handle it. Okay, good thinking. Thank you so much for having me and my family. We've had a grand time, and it's great to be a part of this, see some of my friends and hear all this wonderful music. Well, I'm a cowboy poet, as Nancy said, and you may not realize it, but the international meeting, the Randolph County Farriers Association, is taking place simultaneously. And all the attendees, three of them, I think, are here this evening, so I thought I would do something in their honor. When I make up these poems, the names I use in them are the names of people who inspired the story, or maybe told it to me, actually, or someone it reminded me of, or of course, someone whose name has the right number of syllables. It's real important if you're a poet, you know. I'm a veterinarian, as you are aware or have been told, and I also shoe my own horses, and I've come to realize that horseshoers and veterinarians have a lot in common. You're both walking up to an animal that's considerably larger than you are, and at the very least, you're going to make him uncomfortable. And at the very most, you're going to create some pain. And horses can sense this. They can tell. In the little town in Colorado where I lived, we had a horseshoer named Freddy Winkenhofer. Spanish name, I think, I'm not sure. Freddy was a good horseshoer. And I was trying to explain to someone what a ruminant was. A ruminant, an animal that can digest fiber. And they have no upper incisors, like sheep and deer and cattle. And Freddy Winkenhofer doesn't have any upper incisors either. It'd be a hazard of his profession. Anyway, Freddy's in this poem, and another fellow that I met, he had just left Idaho when I went up there to go to work, and he went on to become famous, and his name was Wilford Brimley, the oatmeal guy. He's a good guy, he is, but I want you to know he's a good horseshoer and a good horseman. So Freddy and Wilford are in this little poem. Just count me out, said Wilford as he lay there in the dirt. A shoeing rasp behind his ear, a hoof print on his shirt. I'll handle this, said Freddy. You just get out of the way. This sorry bag of buzzard bait has met his match today. Well, the horse weren't much to look at, just the kind of trader'd buy. But you knew that he was trouble when you looked him in the eye. It was small and mean and glittered, as deep as Jacob's well, like looking down the smokestack of the furnace room in hell. Freddy grabbed a set of nippers and bent to grab a hoof. When he woke up, his shoeing chaps were dangling from the roof. His shirt tail hung in tatters, and his watch had come unwound, and the nipper's orbit finally peaked. They clattered to the ground. Go get a twitch, said Freddy. I'm about to clean his clock. He tied a rope around his neck and fished it past the hock and then pulled back on the sideline to instill a little fear. When Pig Eye bit a good-sized chunk from Wilford's offside ear, he tangled in the sideline and tried to navigate whilst dragging round the horse corral like alligator bait. Freddy tried to stop this trolling with a loop around the head. And it might have worked. If Freddy'd only roped the horse instead. But of course he caught poor Wilford, who left a funny track, sort of like an oil slick when Freddy jerked the slack. Well, by now the boys were testy and tired of this travail. They figured they'd be done by noon, but they'd not drove a nail. Go get the boss's Humvee. We'll winch him to a post. Well, they got the cayuse necked up tight and set to work almost, because the halter broke and Pig Eye walked the length of Freddy's back. They rolled beneath the axle like two lovers in a sack. Freddy heard the sound of gunfire, like a thousand amplifiers. I got the sucker pinned down, Fred. I shot out all the tires. It was dark when Wilford stood up and laid his hammer down. A gross of crooked horseshoe nails were scattered all around. The place looked like a cross between the tomb of General Grant and a puppy chow explosion. At the elbow dog food plant, Wilford couldn't move his elbow, but he grinned and proudly said, "Oh, pard, we done a good day's work." To what was left of Fred. Freddy crawled out of the wreckage and staggered to one knee. "What say we wait till morning to put on the other three?" Woo! Thank you. All right. Well, as you know, we're keeping it tight tonight because we've got a lot of good folks coming on. I write stories about animals because that's what I know. How many of y'all have ever been embarrassed? Stop right there, I guess, for some of you. Good, yeah, show of hands. How many of y'all have ever been embarrassed by your good dog? Yeah, me either. I got a good dog. He's an Australian Shepherd. Got one blue eye, and I think this dog loves me. I think I love him. This dog goes with me anywhere. I mean, when I say, "You want to go?" He don't say. "Where are you going?" "Going by the video store." No, he don't care. He just wants to be with you. And did you ever notice when you leave and come back, it don't make any difference if you've been gone for 5 minutes or 5 days, your dog is so glad to see you. Isn't that a wonderful trait? Can you think of a single human being that is that glad to see you? You got to run into town. You run out, you jump in the pickup, you forget the car keys, you run back in the house, the dog licks your hand, and your spouse says, "I thought you left." Yeah. I got a neighbor, a good neighbor. And when you live on the outskirts, a good neighbor is somebody who lives just the right distance away. Right? Close enough to circle the wagons if you get in a bind, and far enough away to have that privacy that I think a lot of us value. I believe those are North Carolina plates, Mother. Now, my neighbor's got a job in town. She gets home every evening about 5:15, and I don't think she likes her job because when she gets out of her car, and